Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. Deuteronomy 20 and 1. Please, there's a little bit of reading. I'd like for you to bear with me, if you will, for this. But Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, in the first verse. If you have a Bible, maybe you can look on with someone, please. Deuteronomy 20 and 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou. Everybody say, more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach, speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further. Everybody say, further. This is all in conjunction with what we just read. Unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful, faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to leave the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And if it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it unto thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations. Everybody say, after all their abominations. Which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time. Everybody say, a long time. In making war against it, to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou may eat. Thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees, knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee, until it be subdued. Most unusual statements in the Word of God. How many times I have read this over and over and over. And just the other day, When I came down to the 20th verse, I was stopped dead in my tracks. And I said, my, would you look at this? Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy, cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. In a long war, God's got some rules that He wants His people to live by. Praise God. I'm talking and I'm speaking and I'm teaching on rules of engagement. Rules for engagement. Spiritual warfare. Now, some of you don't know what's going on in your life. Some of you are a little trembling. You're stepping out into territory that you've never been before, and you're a little hesitant and a little tentative. This is for you. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Boy, if I could get this audience in tune with me. Been trying to get it all evening. And if I get you just to get a hold of what God's fixing to do right here for you. Come on, got to put your thinking cap on. Gotta get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Not gonna sit back here on a hot summer afternoon and breeze through this one. This isn't gonna be lemonade and watermelon, honey. Hallelujah. This is gonna be meat on the table, and we're fixing to do warfare. Amen. We're gonna see God gonna do great things in your life. This church. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Hallelujah. Rules for engagement. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Williams, will you come, man of God? And in church, would you reach over and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder? Oh, Father, help us tonight. Oh, Father, help us. Brother to a brother, sister to a sister, husband to a wife. Everybody pray for one another. Would you do that, please? Would you really pray? Would you not stand there and mumble, but would you really pray? Everybody call on the name of Jesus right now. Come on, church, let's pray. Come on, church, let's pray, saints. Everybody together, let's pray. God, we need you tonight, dear Jesus. For God, you are fixing to speak to us through the preaching and the teaching of your word. For your servant, dear God. Now, God, touch our minds, touch our hearts. Prepare us, dear God. Help us to come together in our minds and our hearts, dear Jesus. Prepare us, dear God, to hear and receive your word. Speak to us, God. Move by your Spirit upon us, dear Jesus. Oh, God. And those that are here tonight, dear God, they don't know you to the fullness of the Spirit. God, they have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Speak to them, God. God, prepare their hearts. For God, where your Spirit is, there is liberty, dear Jesus. And God, your Spirit is here. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus. And everybody say, praise the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Beautiful worship tonight. You're wonderful people. You're hungering after God. God is trying to prepare us, each and every one. New ones that have just come in. Those that have been here for a few years. And then many that have been here for a number of years. All trying to get us in one mind, one accord. Pointed in one direction. Can everybody say amen? There's been a very interesting court case that has just been settled before the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Made its way through the different federal systems, courts, and through the Court of Appeals and appellate courts. And finally, it was presented as both were ready to present their case before the Supreme Justice. You may have noticed it. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was concerning a police chase in a city where I believe it was a young man that was killed in a tragic collision. Did anybody read that in the newspaper the other day? If you did, it was a very interesting and a very involved and a very impacting judgment that was handed down by the court system. And it was ruled there that there are rules for policemen, in certain chases, and there are bounds that they are limited by. But it gave them a very liberal bounds, whereby if they were in hot pursuit. Now, in the law of enforcement, law enforcement, they have what is called hot pursuit. It affects cities, counties, and then state lines. And they have rules and manuals whereby that they have dictates given to them by law and by their commanders of when they can continue and proceed and when they disengage from that pursuit. And it's called rules of engagement. Also in the military, we have the same thing. And according to whatever war we're fighting, there was a different rule for Korea as there was for Vietnam. And so on in Bosnia. There are rules of engagement whereby the military come under these commands. And according to the dictate of the commander of chief and by the demand of what nation they're in, what kind of a battle they are fighting, they have rules of engagement. And so they vary. The trouble with that is that it does vary sometimes from president to president. I thank God that my God never changes. If a policeman is chasing someone from the city and it goes beyond the bounds of the city limits, things change when they get into the county. If a highway state patrolman is chasing a man and chases him across the state lines, there are different rules of engagement. But what I am going to teach you tonight, my God never changes. It doesn't matter whether it's in the city or whether it's in the country. It doesn't matter whether it's in North America, South America, or Europe. God has rules of engagement for the church of the living God, for you and me, whether it's in the day or at night, whether you're young or whether you're old. Hallelujah. He has laid down some commands for the church of the living God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, one of these rules is continue to pursue until you subdue completely and wholly and totally until your enemy is finished and vanquished and destroyed. Honey, we're not fighting the Korean War. There's not some parallel that you go to and stop. We're not in Vietnam. We're in a spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. And God has laid down some rules for you and I to go by. Now, this may not be very important or seem very important to you, yet I feel before this night is over that you will see the significance of it. Some of you already sense it. I feel that you're ready to go with me in this Bible study. Some things have been happening in your life, and you feel that you've taken on an enemy. But I want you to know, really, that enemy is taking on your God. Hallelujah. Get that in your head, number one. You've not taken on the enemy. Your enemy has taken on your God. Establish that from the beginning. Let's lay that foundation. And to do that, I want you to keep your Bibles ready at hand. Please, let's go back to the book of Exodus. Something the Lord gave me in this study. I got this from Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 20th verse. Everybody say, I'm not in this alone. The battle that you and I are going through, they fought in the physical. Now, the Apostle Paul taught us that we're not somebody that's beating the air. He also taught us that our warfare are not carnal weapons. Not carnal, but they are weapons mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is not a 9mm that you're going to pull out of your holster and shoot the devil down. You can't see him. But we're going to talk about some powerful things. Number one, for all of you that are here and you're new in the church, I want you to know you've joined the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. My God has never been defeated. My God has never been defeated. Amen. Hallelujah. We see here in the beginning of this study, first of all, I want you to take you to Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 20th verse. We're going to see that God is with us. This is not just two fighting a battle, you and the devil. But this is three. And the devil's got to go through God to get to you. So let's see what the Lord says. I would like for you to mark there, please, beside Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 20th verse. Right there, Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, the first verse. Deuteronomy 20 and 1. This way you'll correlate it and tie it together. Then let's read here. You can read along with me and I'll read out loud. 20th verse. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Now please, I would like for you to underline this statement here. For he will not pardon your transgressions. Now this is the rules of engagement for the children of the Lord before this great angel. I would like for you to write in the margin beside your Bible, Jesus forgives all our transgressions. Please, if you'll write that, Jesus forgives all our transgressions. I want you to see here how this affects you and I. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Underline this, please. I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Hallelujah. I love that. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites. Now, here we have a listing here approximately 40 years before Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. Here we find Moses speaking to the children of the Lord, lining out these countries even before 40 years later when God brings back this promise again. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God already knows what's going to happen before it ever happens. Are you listening to me? There's no battle that you're going to fight down the road. God doesn't already know it's coming. He's already got its name, has already got it pegged, and has already got it defeated. Now, y'all going to have to catch on to this and get with me here today. I'm talking about 40 years before it was ever spoken in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. God's already saying, here's your enemies. I'm going to whip them for you. Hallelujah. And so here they are. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread. Everybody say thy bread. Underline that, please. And thy water. Underline that, please. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young nor barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies to turn their backs unto thee. Hallelujah. Now you talk about going to whip somebody. Amen. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, underline that, please. I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, which is the Mediterranean, and from the desert unto the river, which is Euphrates. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee to sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare. Everybody say, a snare unto me. All right, I know it says unto thee, but it's speaking of you and I. Now, we want to notice this as we see this unfold. Now, I'm going to put this on paper for you, and we will give this to you later. But there was too much in it to wait. I could not wait. We're launching into a great crusade of mighty Holy Ghost revival. Come on, church. We are launching right now. I don't have time for later. I've got to get this out right now. This is hot off of the presses. This is straight from the hand of God Almighty. This is manna coming down. This is for you and I. God wants to give us some rules for engagement because we are about to take some territory in some areas in our own personal life and yea, in this Austin metro area, places where we've never been before. Now I would like for you, if you will look down, please, again with me. Let's take a journey through the scripture here in Exodus, the 23rd chapter. I want you to notice in the 20th verse. First of all, in any engagement that you and I are going to take and come under, we're going to have a supernatural help. I want you to write out there, please, number one, a supernatural help. There's going to be a supernatural help from the Lord. We're not going to be in this by ourselves. He says here in the 20th verse, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, this supernatural intervention of God is going to do two things for us. Number one, it's going to keep us in the way. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have an angel per se right now that takes care of our salvation. Jesus Christ does that. Amen. We have a supernatural touch that keeps us in the way. Not only to keep us in the way, but to bring us to the fulfillment that God has for us. Do you know where this 20th verse was fulfilled? Does anybody remember when this took place? Do you have an idea later on in the scripture where this happened? Where do you think this happened, Sister Harris? Do you remember in the Old Testament? Does anybody remember? Do you remember? Of course. If you think for a moment, it will come to you. Over in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was about to cross over Jordan, when they'd gone over Jordan, after they'd gotten over Jordan, the Bible said he saw an angel there. Hallelujah. How many remember the story now? He said, are you for us or against us? And the angel was called the angel of the Lord. Amen. Now we have Jesus Christ, God Almighty, robed in flesh. Hallelujah. When we cross over our Jordan River, there's going to be a supernatural intervention. Church, you cannot stop. You must continue on. For to stop is to die. But to progress is to know Jesus in His fullness. Amen. This church cannot quit now. I'm warning you, we must not stop now. Because there is a very great place that God has for you and I. God has promised us some things in the Lord. Now I want you to notice this. I want you to see this progress. And I want you to see the warnings of the Lord. The Lord warned them, you're going to have to obey with all of your heart. You're going to have to do exactly what you're commanded. But then I want you to notice some beautiful things that begun to unfold. This word before thee begins to come out a number of verses. First of all, in verse 20, we see, behold, I send an angel before thee. Underline that and put beside it number one. This is the first time we see it. God's going before us. Hallelujah. Look at me, church. Wherever you go, God's already been there. Are you listening to me? There's no troubled waters that your ship will sail in that God hadn't already been there walking on it. There is no demon that you're going to fight that Jesus Christ hadn't already whipped him. He's done it all. It is finished. He wants the children of the Lord to know, I'm going before thee. Now, folks, catch on. You can't miss what's fixing to come here. I got so excited when God gave this to me. He said, this is for the church. Hallelujah. This is for God's great and wonderful people. Amen. Verse 20, before thee. Let's look at verse 23. for mine angel shall go before thee. This is the second time. Write a number two there. Now God's letting you know, listen, you're not going to do this by yourself. I'm going before you. Now let's look at verse number 27. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people. Write down there number three. Here God's letting them know, I'm sending my angel. I'm going to put fear on them. Hallelujah. Friend, would you like it that when you come walking down the street that there's going to be a demon trembling instead of you trembling? No, y'all not with me now. You've lived in fear for so long. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And instead of us cringing in the shadows, God said, the rules of engagement are this. I am going to go before thee. I'm going to put a fear on the enemy. He's going to be very afraid. Hallelujah. Church, it's time for you to get your head up, shoulders back. When you walk in the grocery store, act like you own it and they're leasing from you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's time to act like this city and this metro all is owned by your God and by you. There should be no place that you should be afraid of to go in God. I want you to know God's with you. Not only is God with you, but God is before you. Not only is God before you and with you, God is behind you. Of whom should we be afraid? If God be for us. Man, I'm telling you, I got so excited as this began to unfold, I just started shouting. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I was writing all this down till 11 minutes after 7. I couldn't even believe it was that late. I've been doing this for hours. I got so excited about what God was going to do, I jumped up because I want to be here for prayer before church. I said, oh my God, it's 11 minutes after 7. I got so into this. I got so excited. I said, oh God, we're not in this by ourselves. You're going to go before us. The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. He's going to put a fear in the heart of Satan. Amen. Not us, our enemy. Hallelujah. Verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Now, in studying this out, commentators make this statement. They said it could have been natural hornets. But they believe more and more that there were crusades against this part of the country by Egypt. And God would use even Israel's enemy to wear down those that he was. Man, can you imagine how many times in the Bible do you remember reading when they turned on each other? You remember all the times when the enemy turned on each other? Man, wouldn't you like to have the devil fighting each other instead of fighting you? Wouldn't you like to see a spirit of confusion come in the camp of the enemy? Amen. God is not the author of confusion. We shouldn't be the ones stumbling around. I'm telling you, we get so much in the Holy Ghost that the enemy doesn't even know how to handle us. They're fighting each other. You're not getting this, are you? Hallelujah. I'm talking about the rules of engagement. If you're going to fight a battle, you might as well let God. Praise God. That's number four. Number five, verse 30. I want you to see this. I want you to watch this as it happens. God has been doing this. I will send. I will go. I will do this. I will take care of all this. Then I want you to notice here's something that happens in verse 30. He says this, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. Until thou be increased and inherit the land. I want you to put down there, please, number five. Now we see a shifting of the rules of engagement. Did you catch it? Little by little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Now in the fifth I will be before thee and go before thee and drive them out. We see a shifting that begins to take place. If you will, right here beside this 31st verse, or this 30th verse, I want you to write this scripture, please. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, 10 and 13. 28th chapter and the 10th verse. And let's see here what this great prophet, under the inspiration of the Spirit, God begins to speak. And it's for you and I. This is for our day. This is not just for Israel. God making a promise. The promise is fulfilled in you and I. I want you to see it in the 10th verse. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, hallelujah, will he speak to this people, to whom he has said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Hold on now, church. Somebody is going to get busted up. Somebody's going to fall in a snare when the Holy Ghost gets to moving. I want you to see this. I'm fixing to give you a revelation. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to give. Somebody's going to fall backward. Somebody's going in a snare. But it doesn't have to be you and I. Whoever the Holy Ghost comes upon, if they'll get a hold of it and believe it, their enemy is going to fall backwards from before their face. Boy, this is a weak one tonight. Oh, my. But I feel the meat of the Word of God. What a weak worship. There ought to be something rise up within your soul saying, me, O Lord. The rules of engagement are, get full of the Holy Ghost, stay full of the Holy Ghost, get a hold of this doctrine, and back the devil up. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, out of the Hasatabahaya. Hallelujah. Yes, I talk in tongues. I talk in tongues every day. I talk in tongues a lot. As I read the Word of God, because I am engaged in battle. And when I'm in hot pursuit of the devil, I don't have to stop at the city line. Travis County can't hold me. State of Texas can't stop me. I just keep moving right over the Sabine. Hallelujah, there's nothing in the world that can stop the church of the living God. When God goes before us, hallelujah. Then suddenly, God begins to say, while we're in this journey, while I'm whipping the enemy, I'm giving you strength. I want you to watch me do it. I want you to watch me how to do it. I want you to know nothing can stand in your way because I am with you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Praise God! Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Praise God! Hallelujah! What a beautiful, beautiful statement from the hand of God Almighty. 32nd verse. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. I wanted you to see this, and I wanted you to understand this in correlation with Isaiah. So many times we've read that, and we thought the Holy Ghost, when it comes to people, we saw this falling backwards, falling into a snare, not able to stand up against it. But what it's really saying is, whoever's got the Holy Ghost power and will walk in it, nothing. There's good folks, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose.
And I made up my mind, I'm going to win, and the devil's going to lose. Hallelujah. 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 My mind is made up. Now, I want you to see number 6. We're going to follow up now. We've already given you 5 before thee. Now, I want you to take a look at the 6th one, and that's going to be the 31st verse. I want you to see this. I will set thee bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. And these, of course, are natural boundaries, not for you and I in the realm of the Spirit. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land under your hand. Now, are you catching it? Here goes the shifting. Hallelujah. God will not have a lazy people. You are not going to heaven riding on some little small wagon. Nobody's going to pull you. Nobody's going to push you. You're going to go walking in. Hallelujah. No lazy spirits going to heaven. Are you listening to me? You're going to be a warrior for Jesus Christ. Because the progress of God's rules of engagement are, I'm going to start it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to finish it. But in between all of that, I'm going to teach you a lesson that when it's over, we're going to be standing side by side, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You didn't catch that. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You didn't catch that. Hallelujah. You're not a beggar. You're not sitting on a corner with a cup. You're not begging the devil for a good day. I will deliver the inhabitants of the land under your hand. Now, you may be seated. I want you to start underlining this now. Please. 31st verse. Right out there. Number 6. Number 6. And thou shalt drive them out before thee. Come on, God. Do it all for me. Come on, God. I'm going to sit here. You bless me. Come on, God. We're going to have a revival. You do it all. Come on, God. We got sick people. You do it all. Thou shalt lay hands on the sick. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak with new tongues. Friend, it's not in your power, it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But you gotta stretch out your hand, you gotta open your mouth, you gotta lift up the word of the living God. You're not gonna sit here, Austin Tabernacle, and have what God has for us. New convert, you're not gonna make it to heaven just sitting back on a pew. You might as well get out of that attitude. Hallelujah. On the 6th one, God says, we're gonna go long enough and far enough in this that you're gonna see that I can do it through you. Oh, somebody clap your hands. Somebody praise the Lord. Sorry, folks. I just couldn't wait. I didn't have enough time to put this on paper. Hallelujah. Something's happening in the midst of this people. Glory. Hallelujah. Watch my hand do it. Now watch your hand do it. Watch me defeat your enemy. Now watch me help you defeat your enemy. Oh, Jesus. Backslide? What's that? Who wants to backslide? Huh? Turn around and look at somebody and say, we're in spiritual warfare. Whew. Turn around and look at somebody else and say, we got some rules to whip our enemy. You may be seated. My God. Everybody say hallelujah. All of the first 4 ones, God's doing it. I will. I will. I will. And on the 5th one, He begins to give us a glimpse of progress. Folks, let me tell you something about pastoring. And you need to think this through. Please, just for a little bit. I need for you to really think this through. Please. Brother Clark loves you. But I love you so much that I'm not going to put up with your foolishness. If you're still in the church now, I've been in the church 30 years, and you're still at the third, I will. Something's wrong. You see, here's what people are really wanting. They're wanting God and the pastor to love them. But they're not willing to get into the fray. They are not willing to change their ways. After you've had the Holy Ghost a while, and you get used to that Holy Ghost, and you get to walking with that Holy Ghost, something starts happening to your mind. It doesn't get weaker, it gets stronger. Something doesn't change, and you don't remain the same, I should say, with the same old desires and the same old lust. After a while, you get to walking with God and watch God just whip that devil coming and going. And then God says, now here, you try it. Oh, no, God. No. No. Let me call the pastor. No, God says, no, you try it. No, God. Let them do it. No, God says, you try it. You watch me do it, now you do it. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. I never found one time that he was afraid of an enemy. Never found one time that he ran from the devil. But the devil ran from him. The Holy Ghost doesn't make you an imbecile. It doesn't make you an idiot. Some things, some people do say, Holy Ghost made me do it. Oh, no. Some of the things some people do, the Holy Ghost didn't have nothing to do with that. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Ghost wouldn't make you walk out in front of a freight train saying, freight train's going to stop. No, that's just not the way it happens. The Bible says don't tempt your God. But sometimes by the foolishness of our own lives, it just seems like we're walking into danger areas all the time. But God starts out blessing and teaching. And then along the way, suddenly He lets you begin to feel it with your hand of His power. And then suddenly one of those trials, He backs up and says, go get them. You'll hear some of the phone calls again sometime. Help me! I'm serious. Where are you? I've even had some people say, are you feeding the horses? Are you outside? If you're inside, pick up, oh God. I just had that happen just the other day. Called 3 times within 2 hours. 3 times within 2 hours. Please, oh please, where's Brother Clark? Finally, later on the day, the fourth call came through, said, it's okay. Everything's all right, you don't have to get a hold of me. Oh, I said, God, this is a classic. This is a classic. My God. You know what happened? Somewhere through that day, God allowed me to be gone so that person could get down and pray. Pray! Woo! My God! I'm telling you, we're in a warfare. But greater is He that is with you, that is in you, than He that is in the world. Something's happening. Something's going on. Strength is coming. Coming. There's a bonding. My God, don't you feel God transferring some things into your hands? He trusts you. Go say back to God, I can't do it. Say, God, you trust me enough. All right, let's go for it. Because He's going to be right there by you. He's going to be right there near you. He ain't going to leave you alone. Come on, young people. You can't live for God? That's a lie. You can live for God. Come on, saints. You can't make it on the job? That's a lie. You can live for God on the job. Come on, this church. Yeah, we can do anything we want to do. If we want to do it. We're at the sixth before thee. We are at the sixth before thee. God is saying, now, I'm putting it in your hands. You see, God can't fill anybody with the Holy Ghost unless you reach out there and get them. Bring them in. Then you got to pray them through. Then we got to baptize them. Then you got to help disciple them. People can't get healed unless you and I go forth laying hands on the sick. God uses your voice to cast out devils. God uses your voice to bring down blessings. Some of you just waiting on a preacher to do it. And God's waiting on you to do it. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, I said hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, you got the same Holy Ghost I got. I said you can do what I can do. Amen. You may not be in the pulpit to preach, but honey, you can kick the streets under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God will use you. I love Bible study. Man, I love Bible study. Just gives me some strength to go on in the Word of God. To do what God has called me to do. Now that we see what God, here in Exodus, now we see what God will do for us. And how God will put it into our hands. Now let's tie this together. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy the 20th chapter, please. Deuteronomy the 20th chapter. And let's dissect this quickly. My God, time's going on. I can't believe it's that late already. Have mercy. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. First verse. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou. Everybody say, bigger than me. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, first of all, let's look at this first verse. God is telling us, you're going to have a fight. Just get ready for it. Let me tell everyone coming in the church, all the new converts. Let me tell you something. This is no bed of roses. It's not a recreation room. We're not playing volleyball. This isn't a good old pick-em-up game of basketball. This is a fight to the finish. This is heaven or hell. Hallelujah. I want you to know you got in the greatest thing going, but it's a battle. I want you to know when this thing opened up the rules of engagement, God says, there will be a fight. There's going to be a fight. You're going to fight for it. Let me tell you something. Salvation is by grace, but to keep it, you're going to have to fight for it. Mm-hmm. When God gives it to you, the devil's going to try to come take it away. He said, let no man steal your crown. Hold on to that crown. Hold on to what God has given you. There are devils that will come take your crown. And there's something else that's in here in the rules of engagement. He said, you're going to see it. You're going to see the horses and the chariots. You're going to see the enemy. He said, and when they're more of them than they're more of you, don't be afraid. Think about this. Brother Lyman, think about this. This is some things you think about. Think about this. How many times in the Word of God in the Old Testament, when they were in a physical battle, did they outnumber the enemy? Folks, very few times. I did not have time. When God started giving this to me, it was coming so fast, I cannot wait to put this down on paper and to follow up and flesh it out, so to speak. I mean, fill in all the blanks. Hallelujah. About almost every battle that they ever went through, the enemy was bigger than them. You know why? Because God wanted to prove that He and them together could whip any number, any spirit. He said, just don't be afraid. Come on, church, just don't be afraid. The God who brought you out is able to bring you in. about every one of you getting the Holy Ghost, you're able to keep that Holy Ghost. The rules of engagement are this. If God started it, He can finish it. I don't care what the odds are. Are you listening to me? I don't care if your whole family's against you. I don't care if your boss cusses you out every day. I don't care if your mate doesn't want to live for God. I'm telling you, the rules of engagement are, get your eyes off of the enemy and get your eyes on God. Start praying for the spirit that's behind that mate or that boss or that situation. Don't pray against the person. Pray against the spirit. Your boss, if he's cussing you out and acting like a devil, you need to pray and bind that spirit. If you're having trouble in your home and your mate doesn't want to receive this, bind the spirit that is holding them. You may be seated. Hallelujah. God has some laws and some rules of engagement. And I'm telling you, folks, if Austin Tabernacle will go by what I'm teaching here tonight, we are not going to be defeated. Well, if that's all I can get out of you, I'm in trouble. Man, I'm in trouble if I'm leading this. Come on, I said, if we will go by the rules of engagement and do what God has told us to do, nothing can stand before us. Clap your hands. Come on, praise Him. Can you give me a little more time? I got to finish this out. Come on, if we got to be here to midnight, we'll stay here to midnight. Something's happening. Something's going on. Something's occurring right in our midst. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you old dried up tucker. No suck of corn sitting there and like a bump on a dill pickle. Hallelujah. This is real. This is powerful. This is a genuine. Hallelujah. I'm going to win. See, I'm going to win. You're going to win too. Because we're going together. Well, you're going to win your neighborhood. You're going to win your boss. You're going to win people where you live. You're going to win your family. Praise God. He said, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, which is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, and the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, number one. Fear not, number two. And do not tremble, number three. Neither be ye terrified because of them, number four. Why? For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you. Now, are you catching on to this? Not before, with. Hallelujah. To fight for you against your enemies to save you. Let the preacher declare the rules of engagement. Woo! Hallelujah. Set this thing in order and let's get with it. And the power and the authority which still lies with the pastor. And the officers shall speak unto the people saying, what man is there that have built a new house and have not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest they die in battle. And another man dedicate it. What man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle. And another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife
and have not taken her. Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, and let his brethren's heart, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Now, folks, hang on here for a minute. And I'm going to hurry up, but I'm going to bring out some points that are here. These are very important and very pertinent concerning this rules of engagement. Preparation is involvement. It all is the same thing. If you haven't got a mental attitude to fight the enemy, then you're whipped before you ever step out on the battlefield. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. About 75 to 80% of the battle is right there in your mind before you ever get it on with the devil. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? It's mental. It's mental. It's mental. It's mental. It's the mind. It's the mind. It's the will. You got to have the want to. You got to have the want to. There's something up here between your ears besides just gray matter. You got to begin to put this line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The word of the Lord is spoken over in Exodus. God said, I'm going to do this a little bit at a time till I strengthen you to the place that you can step out and believe me. God knows what He's doing. And I want you to know something, friend. I'm fixing to blow your mind on this one. But God will allow you to go through things to keep you from being devoured. You may not remember and recall the scripture that I read to you, but He said, I'm going to leave your enemy in the land and let him die a little bit and a little bit while you're growing at a little bit and a little bit, lest the beast devour you and your family. Don't ever tell God He don't know what He's doing, because while you're growing, He's diminishing the strength of that enemy, but He's got to leave him there as a buffer. Things that go on in your life is only helping to get you stronger. It's something that's there to keep you from being destroyed. Did you know a trial in your life is nothing more than the hand of God preparing you to fight the enemy, to keep that devil from beating you and destroying? You don't want to I know you by now. You don't want to receive that. You don't want to hear that. But God said the rules of engagement are, is you're going to grow a little bit by a little bit. You don't become a mighty warrior overnight. Hallelujah. And if God didn't take care of some things in your life, the beast would rise up and destroy you. I'm telling all the church, leave the babies alone. They're going to grow a little bit at a time until they get strong enough that one day they're going to stand like you and hold that sword. Woo! Woo! They're coming. 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 Hallelujah. One of these nights you're going to hear them in a prayer meeting. And you're going to wonder, who is that? My God, I can't be that new baby. What did they get a hold of? They got a hold of the rules of engagement. I say, hallelujah. My God, my God. Now I want you to, let's put this over in the New Testament. I want you to see this. If a man has land, if he has a house, if he's got a wife, or, let's hurry on. Let's go over right there beside that, if you will, fifth verse, and the officer shall speak. Right out beside there, Luke 14:16. And once you've written that out, I'd like for you to turn over in the New Testament to the book of Luke. Luke, the 14th chapter. Is this all right? Can I have a little bit more time? Hello, can I have just a little bit more time? Luke 14 and 16. Praise God. This is where we're headed to. Then said he unto him, a certain man hath made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know what God was saying in laying down the rules of engagement in the Old Testament? He said, let me tell you something.